Green and Deadly Things by Jen Lyons, read by Torian Brackett. Prologue. We know who woke the queens. His name was Cadmus Abigan. He was neither knight nor king, wizard nor priest, but rather an unremarkable manager of middling talent and minor ability, assigned to Kegamar Lumber Company's most remote logging camp in the Parnassa Forest. He likely believed he'd do some good there, for a definition of good that included words like efficiency, quotas, and profits. Some have claimed he was blameless, a hapless man in the wrong place at the wrong time, with no role in later events. This is untrue. Claims that it took him but a single day to ignite the catastrophe that followed are also untrue. He accomplished that in under 30 minutes. From the moment Cadmus Abigan stepped down from the carriage, gazing at the Parnassa logging camp's primary work site, he knew he would make great changes. The base camp, for one thing, it was too far away. The crew had to walk a mile every morning to reach this work site from their camp, and that logging camp, practically a permanent residence, wasting valuable timber on a thick palisade around the camp's perimeter. The extravagance continued with a bombard field around those same walls, only safely navigable by a narrow corridor. Honestly, little wonder they lagged on fulfilling their quota. All quite ridiculous. He read the papers, littered with stories of grimmocks and black magic. One would think the country was all but overrun. Abigan was too smart to be fooled by such sensationalism. How had these people ever managed without him? Abigan studied the worksite, noting inefficiency, indolence, sluggishness. So much to whip into shape. His stare stopped at the ragged, uneven tree line. Three pristine trees rested atop a gently sloped hill. Magnificent specimens. Each one towered over the trees they'd already felled. So why?
Why are those trees still standing?
Abigan pointed the trees out to the first lumberjack unfortunate enough to catch his eye. The crew knew Kegamar had sent Abigan to ensure they met their deadlines. They knew he was the kind of hatchet man who had nothing to do with lumber. He expected an answer, but instead he was met with open disbelief.
"Those are the three queens,"
the logger explained, and then said nothing more. Abigan couldn't guess the old lumberjack's age. The man had been left outside too long. His dry, brittle skin weathered to the texture of autumn leaves. Deep folds of skin cloaked the man's eyes in shadows. Those eyes judged him. Abigan didn't like it. Abigan scoffed.
"I don't care if they're three Grimlords. You doughheads named them like they're pets. Did you make them crowns and throw tea parties for them too?"
He flapped one arm toward the trees.
"I want those trees down and loaded on a wagon by the end of the day. Do you have any idea what's going to happen if we don't have enough wood to satisfy this commission?"
Nothing good. Maybe these men didn't think it mattered if Kegamar couldn't provide enough wood for the Empire's quincentenary. They damn well would if Kegamar lost its license because the governor felt embarrassed by his inability to keep up with the regent's demands. The old lumberjack ran his tongue over his teeth like he was hunting for the last scraps of lunch. His eyes remained fixed on Abigan's face, his expression blank. He might have been thinking about anything.
"Did you hear me?"
Abigan demanded.
"Ganner."
Another lumberjack, younger and more cautious, put a hand on the older man's arm. Ganner shrugged it off.
"I heard you."
Ganner crossed his arms over his chest.
"And I won't do it."
His gaze swept over the crowd, a warning or a dare.
"They're trees," Abigan told him.